We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Jesse, are you ready for rapid fire?
Let's do this.
All right, we've got more running back talk coming up here as we open up rapid fire. So Dylan McCullough, we heard from him already, talked a little bit about Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. And he was asked if Price is ready to be a lead back. And here's his response.
Well, I mean, it under me, what's a lead back? You know, so all the guys continue to play. As far as I'm concerned, what we did with Jadarian last year was 100% on plan. It was, we did not have to stress him. He was coming off of an Achilles. There was no need in our room to say, look, we got to load this guy up. All I wanted him to do, bring him along the right way, put him in position to be successful. So for himself and for us to feel confident in his long-term development, but then not overstressing his Achilles. And we didn't need.
All right. So there you go. Is Jadarian Price ready to be a lead back? Was the question. Does Price need to be Notre Dame's lead back?
Not with the combination that they have right now. And they don't have an Audric Estime, and that's okay. You don't need that, right? Like, if you can accomplish, you know, mission with one Audric or, you know, three guys named Jadarian, Jeremiah Love, and Jabron Payne, then it's all the same, right? Like, I don't – and especially in terms of today's game of keeping guys fresh, injury-free, why put a lot of stress on guys when you can, again, you know, kind of divvy out the share a little bit? So I think it speaks to their depth, right? Like, they don't have to say this guy is our lead running back because he is head and shoulders better than 2 and 3 on the depth chart. I think it's a good thing that you have a bunch of guys that are, you know, relatively close in talent level because, again, you don't have to rely on one guy.
Well, and he started off like with me, what is a lead back? Because they do have so many different jobs for these guys. Now, sometimes it feels like there's some situations where they could pair that back. But at the same time, like, just look at 2 years ago when it was Audric Estime and Logan Diggs. Like, who was the lead back? Because it seemed like more, you know, Logan Diggs was, but Audric Estime was the one who ended up leading the team in rushing by the time it was all said and done. But there were times where you were going, okay, now why isn't Estime in there? Or there were times where you're going, why isn't Diggs in there more? You know what I mean? So last year became a much more obvious situation where Audric Estime was the guy, but he needed to be the guy because I think that that is what the room dictated based on who else was there. Jadarian Price was coming back from that Achilles injury that Dylan McCullough was talking about. And I completely agree. Based on the makeup of this room, I don't think there necessarily needs to be a lead guy this season, because I think that there are, with the skill sets that they have and the fact, I just think that we're going to see potentially a lot of all of them again. And the fact that Jeremiah Love is being used as a receiver is just going to sort of complement that. It's going to get more guys on the field, not just him, you know, on the field in a different position. It's going to get more guys on the field, I think, overall.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not only is it going to get more guys on the field, but it's going to give them a better opportunity for those explosive rate plays, those boom plays that exactly. We were talking about.
Exactly. So we got to talk to special teams coordinator / safeties coach Marty Biaggi yesterday as well. And he shared some of his thoughts on Marshall transfer Jaden Harrison, not only returning kickoffs, but contributing to special teams across the board as well.
The same thing kind of, you know, that we explained to him with Devin Ford, you know, yeah, who now has moved to safety, but he had kind of been an off returner or the returner at Penn State at the previous school. And then all of a sudden we realized what he can do. Yeah. And we wanted to, get him involved in more and more scheme that we could in different positions. So I think Jaden has been awesome. You know, he'd come in and he had even said, you know, I've never even done the front line or backline kickoff return drills. I've always been the returner. And so, you know, it's a privilege to get to be the punt returner or kick returner at Notre Dame. So you're going to go through, you know, my philosophy is you're going to make sure those guys see that you're going to learn all the techniques and all the work they're putting in. And so he comes up to my office a lot. You know, he's very, there's no ego there. And so I think it's just going to help him, you know, be able to contribute more than just a returner, you know, label.
So you've got a wide receiver body in Jaden Harrison versus Devin Ford, a running back body, you know, that Marty Biaggi was talking about there, who did it last year. So do you buy or sell the idea of your primary kickoff return man being on multiple special teams units as well?
I buy it because he's not going to be utilized as a premier player in the offense or defense anywhere. So again, how can we get a guy that is uber talented? And it sounds like, too, uber hungry. Like, the guy just wants to be on the field as much as possible. Hey, coach, you know, I know I'm returning kicks, but, you know, how else can I be utilized? I feel like I'm a great player elsewhere. You know, I'd love to be, you know, on this special team, et cetera. So to me, that's something you have to love. And it feels like, you know, we feel like this guy is very good at this specific thing. How can we get him more opportunities to be on the field in terms of, you know, special teams, because it's not like he's being pulled for offensive or defensive duties. His main responsibility is special teams. So how do we fill him up as much as possible? More special teams.
Yeah, exactly. And I like the idea that they're, for the second year in a row, that they're going out and they've got a guy who can contribute across the board at special teams. Okay, you know, like you said, you might not necessarily be at the top of the two deep in terms of playing wide receiver, but you can fill a million roles and you can be good at all of them. You know, not a jack of all trades, master of none, but you can be good across the board, just like Devin Ford, you know, was really good across the board and all the special teams units he played on last year. And you had a guy like Bo Bauer, who used to do a lot of that, obviously. You know, like, those kind of guys can be very valuable for you. It's a very good use of a scholarship. And the way, since they brought in Marty Biaggi,
that's a really good point, like fully utilizing a scholarship player as well.
Yeah, exactly. Since they brought him in, you know, they've gone out and they've tried to bring in guys who can, you know, not just be a starter on offense or defense, but can be big time special teams players across the board, you know, on all different units over the last couple of years. So I really like the philosophy and the fact that they're going that route. So I like it a lot.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
So Rhino Monteforte and Andrew Cross are battling this spring to be Notre Dame's long snapper. I don't know if you knew about the long snapper battle that was going on during spring camp. Scale of 1 to 10, how into a spring long snapper battle are you?
I'll put this at a 2 out of 10. It is the least of my concerns. I fully guarantee they will find someone who can put that ball right on the money, baby. And again, it is – in the grand scheme of things, it's like the least thought about thing. It's just at this point, it's automatic. It's not a problem until it's a problem, right? So, like, I'm cool.
This is what I like about John Kristoffic. This guy is always mowing against the grain, man. He's like 19. Like, John would be, if they could put long snapper Cam out there, apparently John would be all over the long snapper competition. Monteforte, by the way, stands a robust 5'7". If you Google Rhino Monteforte and look him up, a 5'7" potential long set. But these guys both got out there a little bit last year in some reserve duty. They were both out there. Cross, I think, is over 6 foot tall. He's a little bit different. He's almost like more of a wide receiver build out there doing, you know, some long snapping. Didn't you, one of your college teammates was not a very big guy that was your college long snapper, right?
Yeah, he was. When I first got there, it's funny. One of the guys that became the longs, like as a freshman, the whole goal was how do we make the travel team? You know, like how it's everyone dresses for home games. How can you make the travel team? And so there was a linebacker with me, and he was kind of an undersized linebacker. He was like a Will linebacker kind of in our defense, but he taught himself how to long snap because he wanted to make the travel roster, and we were having issues with our long snapper. And he was like, you know, I did it in high school a little bit, and he started practicing, and he made the travel team, and he got more opportunities because he was a long snapper, right? And
yeah,
they were basically like, if you have to be on the bus for long snapping, we're gonna put you on the depth chart at linebacker. We're gonna put you on the depth chart at special teams. And so he got more opportunities because he figured out how to long snap.
Dang. I long snapped in high school. I should have, like, back then it was like, you know, they were trying to, you know, like spin the ball, you know, like, yeah, it's spin the ball. I wish we would have had like guys who could actually help us, because like coaches knew nothing. Like high school coaches, especially 35, 36, however many years ago, they knew nothing about how to help out a special teams guy. We had a guy from, exchange student from Norway who was the kicker, and like everyone was in awe because he could actually kick soccer style. Whereas, you know, the other guy we had was like this traditional, you know, straight on Rick Dempsey type kicker. You know, he had everything but the flat foot, you know, and that kind of thing. So nobody knew anything about special teams back then. Andre is in love with your Cubs gear, Jess.
It's a reminder that this show needs to end no later than 7:30, because I will be watching First Pitch.
Andre also wants to know if you're worried about the April transfer portal. If we are, I mean, I think that there are probably going to be some transfers. How worried about it? I'm not overly worried right now. I mean, somebody's going to transfer. The question is going to be who. I mean, I don't think we can spend too much time worrying about that, because the other side of it is Notre Dame can always go out and into the transfer portal and bring some other guys in after, you know, April, and bring them in this summer as well. So I'm not overly concerned about it. But I went scale of 1 to 10, probably just go at 2. How about you?
I'll go with I'll be different. A 3.
Okay. DK throwing a little jab at you. He said, talking running backs, did you ever look one in the eye or just watch them run by?
Okay, DK, first thing. I'll answer this question arrogantly, and then I'll answer this question truthfully. I had over 300 career tackles, baby. No one was getting past me, okay? And second of all, the only guys that sucked to tackle, there were running backs who were like ran with their head up, right? But then there was a couple of specific guys. They were just muscle balls, and they'd put their head down and just try to spear you in the chest. Those were the guys that I did not enjoy. You basically had a concussion at the end of every game.
That guy from Riley.
It was the guy from Riley. You were a sophomore.
He was his name Hart?
Something Mike like Hart. That.
Mike Hart. Yep. He was a muscle ball. I remember him.
I found something for DK, though. I'm going to put it here in the chat. You can, when you get bored sometime, just take a look at that video.
Oh, boy. Jesse's throwing his high school idol link
in the chat, baby.
Where is this show gone? We need to reel this back in. I don't know what just happened here. Jesse tried to relive like some youth sports glory the last time he was in town, and his girlfriend totally told him he was, basically without saying it, said he was an idiot. So
the times have passed.
Yes. Okay, fill in the blank. It's blank that Hannah Hidalgo has 157 steals this season, while Friday's Notre Dame opponent, Oregon State, has 153 steals as a team.
It's insane. And it's insane that it still hasn't gotten her ACC Player of the Year. It hasn't gotten her on National Player of the Year finalist list, etc. She's one of the best defensive guard in the entire country, and it seems to be going under the radar for some reason. And I think the only reason is that she's a freshman. And I really don't understand the lack of, you know, giving her credit in terms of being one of the best all-around players, if not one of the best defensive guards in the entire women's game.
I mean, she continues to lead the nation in steals, but like the fact that she has 157 as a team, Oregon State has 153 is just nuts to me. And there's they're a pretty good defensive team. Obviously their defensive style is other than what hers has. I think it's a good, it's like, as I look at this matchup this weekend, it's good for Notre Dame because Oregon State ranks 329th in the nation in turnover margin. So I think that is, that bodes really well for Notre Dame and Hannah Hidalgo. But like to your point about the national accolades, I mean, she is a first team AP All-American, which is significant. Like the fact that she's not up for the National Player of the Year, like you, I think it's completely bogus. And I also like get astounded that, like I keep hearing, some of these national people talking about, some of the up and coming stars of the game. And I always hear like Juju Watkins come up, but like they're not bringing up Hannah Hidalgo readily, which is just amazing to me, considering she is a first team All-American and everything else that she has done so far. And the fact that everyone, everyone new who sees her play raves about her play. But I think all that kind of gets taken care of as you make the deep run into the tournament. I think Juju Watkins has gotten a little bit more hype because there is a difference between playing in a market like Los Angeles and being, ranked where they are in the nation versus, playing in the Midwest for Notre Dame. Even though Notre Dame is a, obviously a national school, I think there's a difference. I think that has helped Juju Watkins. And obviously the fact that people keep talking about Paige Beckers, not Bukers.
Sorry.
Or Buckers.
Sorry.
Jesse and Vince. Paige Beckers playing for UConn helps as well. You're going to get a lot of extra hype there.
I think this is a good question. Which was more criminal? Audric not being a semifinalist for the Doke or Hannah Hidalgo not being a finalist for National Player of the Year?
I think it's more criminal that Audric was not, because he had been around for an extra year. Like, he had already established a body of work in his first year as a starter, as a sophomore, and established himself as a legitimate running back. And then doing what he did last year, like, I think it's completely criminal that Audric wasn't a even a semi-finalist for the Doak Walker.
Dude had like over 1,000 yards and just touchdowns galore. But hey, what do we know?
Right. I was looking at my watch. It was because a notification was going off. I know Salty's not here, but Salty was kind of giving me a hard time for looking at my watch before. For anyone who has an Apple Watch, like when you get like an alert goes off on your watch, you tend to look at it right away if you feel your watch vibrate. So
you're just, that guy always on demand. The people are texting you. I don't know about demand.
Yeah. All right. So there's been some chatter this week about the women's tournament moving to neutral sites for the first and second round games of the NCAA tournament, rather than hosting like they have done forever. Do you buy or sell the idea of the women's tournament going to neutral sites?
Complete sell. The women need, and again, I'm not trying to, give a comparison to the men's game, but the women need neutral sites to start. It's what draws fans in. They need the team, the 1-4 seats, the ability to host, because that's what's going to get, butts in seats in those first round games on a random day, Thursday or whatever at 2:00. It's just, Let's let this Caitlin Clark effect wear off before we start making rash decisions, because the women's game is at an apex right now. And you don't need to start making rash decisions about a generational player that is going to be exiting, you know, college basketball here soon. And I know there's Juju Watkins and there's the Hannah Hidalgos and et cetera. But again, I don't want to make a rash decision on a sport that I really think has, you know, not been struggling in the past, but it's, you don't see nearly as many sellout games in the first round of women's games than you do men's games. And that's just the point of it.
Let's look at Monday afternoon as an example, because Notre Dame hosted Ole Miss Monday afternoon in a 2:30, or was it, I guess it was a 2 o'clock game. Saturday was the 2:15, 2:20 game. Saturday was a sellout. Awesome environment, you know, awesome crowd. Monday, still awesome crowd, still awesome environment, but there were like 2,000 fewer people in the seats because it was a Monday afternoon game. And now if you're playing that at a neutral site, say you're playing that in Indianapolis, for example, I don't know that you're probably going to be at least 2,000 fans lighter than what you had at Purcell Pavilion. The women's game is just not in a place yet where you can do that. They're in a place, though, where you have seen steady growth. Like everyone, you know, raves about Caitlin Clark. I would still argue that a lot of the growth of the women's game, you know, like Skylar Diggins was a huge impact. That's been, what, 10, 12 years ago at this point. Since, I guess, gosh, even more than that since she showed up. It's been like 15, 16 since she showed up. 10, 12 since she finished. But my point was Arike Ogunbowale hitting those shots. Like, remember, Arike Ogunbowale went from hitting back-to-back shots, game winners, you know, in the, you know, those buzzer beaters in the Final Four. She was on Dancing with the Stars. Like, what women's college basketball player has been on a national show like that? You know, and like that, to me, that's kind of really been a kind of the point of growth for the women's game. Like, it has really exploded. Now, obviously, Caitlin Clark has taken it to another level, but I just don't think that there is enough overall support for it that they can afford yet to go to the neutral sites. You need more stars. Like, you need, you know, like these young players like Hidalgo and Watkins and all these others. And that what's good for the women's game is the fact that you have these players for 4 years, unlike the men's game where, you know, you've still got one and done and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think the women's game is in a place yet where they can afford to do that.
This is the more compelling argument to me. Let the men move away from neutral games and allow them to host the first two rounds. I think there should be – listen, in the men's game where there is a much more parity and much more upsets between seeds, you know, 4 through 12, I would say, I think it's fair to say that the teams that earn the right to be a top 4 seed deserve the comfortability of playing those first two rounds at home to avoid some of these potential upsets. And I know that that's what all March Madness is all about, but to me, and this gets into one of my, I told you, I think last week or 2 weeks ago when March Madness started, I have my issues with the 64 format, the 64 team format, because it's essentially throwing the entire regular season away and allowing them to just go at it. And especially with the NIL and the transfer portal, the talent difference between these seeds is so much smaller now that I believe it is beneficial so that some of these teams earn the right to home court advantage.
I don't know about that. Like, I'd like to see what the crowd sizes are. I know that.
But like, it's just such a game of chance once you get to the 64 on the men's side.
Men are playing in bigger arenas though. And that's what I know. You know, they don't always sell out these first and second round games, but at the same time, you're bringing in a lot of different teams, you know, so the crowds are sort of shuffling in and out, you know, that kind of thing. It feels like they wouldn't do it because of the fact that they have an opportunity basically to sell more tickets by playing in these neutral sites and bigger arenas.
Yeah. Well, and then you do the day pass thing, right? You're not there specifically for one team. You're in for the entire day. You're seeing, you know, games 1 through 4 that are going to be run at that region in that arena. And so, like, again, that's the money. That's what it's about. And that's why the women have host games, because it gets them more money, more seats. The men, they can sell out arenas, so they're not going to have the neutral sites.
Tyler Robinson's the guy who's just loads of fun at parties. He says, basketball is boring. It was ruined when they said players can't run into the stands to fight with fans.
Man.
Tyler's over there doing keg stands and, you know, like waiting for the neighbor to show up and ask for a, you know, an extra red Solo cup. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? Solo cup, you chuck it, get out of here.
Hockey's the worst of the worst. All right. And I'm going to start some fights.
That's right. Joe said, how about change the days so they are not playing on a Monday? It's easier to take Thursday and Friday off instead of – I mean, I agree with that as well. And the women's – I don't know what precipitates these changes, but every few years they slide the days back and forth, you know, like when they're playing. Because we had played – they had played the same format, you know, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday as the men the last couple of years, and now we're back to – they pushed it back, so they start on Friday, and they're playing on Mondays. Mondays doesn't do anyone any good. I think, if I had to guess, it's probably, you know, it's a TV thing, you know, because they figure, oh, you get the extra day on Monday. I think they'll probably gauge, you know, what the TV audiences look like. But, I mean, if everything works out this weekend, they're going to have Iowa and LSU playing in a standalone game Monday night at 7 o'clock in the Elite Eight for the winner going to the Final Four. So I think that ESPN probably likes those odds, you know. Like, yeah. If you, because what dictates all decisions in whatever order you want to put it, money and TV, and they're essentially tied together. That's where all the decisions are made.
They're doing the dance together.
Yep. So at least one men's Sweet 16 game is going to tip off after 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night as well. Longtime sports radio host and First Take contributor Chris Mad Dog Russo is ticked off about March Madness games starting after 10 o'clock. Are you with him or against him?
Oh, I'm 100% with him. And here's... here's where I will kind of give leniency, right? I don't mind if it's a West Coast and you got a full slate, one game after the next, boom, 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 boom. But when you're doing this crap where you're only putting one game in the noon slot, one game in the 3 o'clock slot, one game in the 6 o'clock slot, and then all of a sudden it's like five games after 8 p.m., like, what are we doing? That's the crazy part to me. I don't care if you have maybe one game that starts that late, but when you got like 3-4 games all starting between 8 and 10 p.m. It's like, why are we not spacing this out a little bit better?
And I realize there are more games in the opening weekend, and you are starting games at noon. And there are, you know, there are only 4 games today, 4 games tomorrow for the Sweet 16. But if you can start games at noon last week, why can't you start games at 5 o'clock this weekend so that you're not tipping off after 10? Because here's what's going to happen. As of right now, only one game is scheduled to tip off after 10 o'clock, but the other game is scheduled to tip off at 9:40. How many times does that 9:40 game actually tip off on time? So that game is more likely to tip
that's
off
like a 10,
closer.
15 to start. Yeah,
that's exactly right. That game is what's scheduled for 9:40 is probably going to tip off closer to 10, and the 10 o'clock game is probably going to tip off closer to 10:30. It's nuts. I mean, you're already in a situation where basketball, granted it's March Madness and everything else, so you've got a better chance of getting eyeballs, but basketball is still, you know, the second tier sport in comparison to football in terms of what people want to watch. So why are you tipping off after 10 o'clock when, you know, I realize, okay, you know, West Coast, all that, get more eyeballs, but I mean, the numbers have shown like fewer people on the West Coast actually pay attention. And the people on the East Coast are trying to stay up all night if they want to watch it. I don't know. So I'm completely.
I guess we all just need to move to California or Arizona is what we're getting at.
I guess so. Is there a men's Sweet 16 game you're most interested in either today or tomorrow?
Today, I would say Illinois and Iowa State. I think UConn and North Carolina are going to handle their business. In terms of tomorrow, I am really interested in that North Carolina State and Marquette game. I want to see. Yeah, I think NC State has obviously, you know, gone way further than expected. A lot of people thought, hey, ACC championship, great.
Are you still pushing your chips in on the Wolfpack right now?
This is where I'm kind of – this is where my foot's in the ground a little bit. But I think tomorrow's games are actually really great compared to today's. I think North Carolina State Marquette's a good game. I think Gonzaga and Purdue is a great game. I think Duke and Houston is going to be a great game. And then I'm curious to see, can Creighton do it, right? Can they go on to the Elite Eight again? So I like tomorrow's slate way better, but I'm most interested in that North Carolina State game.
UConn-San Diego State tonight, rematch of last year's national championship game. You know, that classic rivalry between the Aztecs and the Huskies.
Yeah, but San Diego State's going to get stomped worse than they did last year. I don't think San Diego State is nearly as good as they were last season. I think but they're not going to be able to keep up offensively with UConn. Yeah,
I mean, everyone's been all in on UConn this year, and I wasn't really buying it going into the tournament, but after
when you watch them play,
I know, man. But you know, like I also watched them go to Allen Fieldhouse and get their butts kicked by Kansas back in December. I realize, you know, a lot of things can change over the span of 3 months, but that was still kind of the impression that I had of UConn, I guess. But
I've told you this before. I put a $25 bet on who I thought would be each region winner. So the final four teams, all of my final four teams are still in it. So that's what I'm rooting for, is my final four teams to make it through this weekend.
Tomorrow, though, Purdue and Gonzaga is the one that interests me, because I think Purdue takes care of business there. They are probably going to the Final Four, and I had them as my first number one seed out. So definitely queuing in on that. They have they've played better than I thought so far. Tyler wants to know who you've gotten your Frozen Four.
I'm hoping Notre Dame.
Well, they're done, so that's not going to happen.
Is Michigan still in it? They're always a good betting favorite as well. Isn't there a Minnesota team that's always really good too? I can't think of who it is. You know what? I'm going to look it up right now. Frozen Four. I want to see who is all still left. 19 minutes ago. Denver's always a good bet.
Yeah.
Give me Minnesota. That was my original pick, Minnesota. Okay. I'm going to end it there.
All right. Good enough. That fulfills our hockey obligation for the year.
So thank you for coming.
With that. Fill in the blank. Baseball's opening day taking place on the same day as the start of the Sweet 16 is blank.
It is pure awesomeness. First thing I did this morning is I woke up and texted one of my good buddies, and I said, hey, happy opening day and happy Sweet 16. We're going to have a good day today. And I have work off tomorrow, 3-day weekend, holiday weekend. This is my last obligation before all of the fun starts. And then the Sweet 16 just tipped off. The Cubs are about to throw first pitch. It is greatness.
But it makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. Why didn't baseball just start yesterday?
No.
Instead of today.
Give me all of it in the same day.
And they're playing all these late afternoon games. They didn't even play that.
That's why they're doing it.
1 o'clock games.
That's why they're doing it. They're putting all these games before the Sweet 16.
They think more people are going to watch as a result? I'm sorry. I think it's another baseball marketing blunder to me. I think they should have started yesterday. Played all day.
I see your point, but I'm not gonna let you rain on my parade.
John makes a better point, because it's still March, and John said baseball should start in April. I don't disagree with that either.
I mean, it's still been like in the 30s here this week.
It's chilly here in Albany as well. Not quite 30s. I think it was like 40s all day long. I think we're supposed to get a little bit more sunshine.
Weather.com. Where's DK when you need him? I'm sure he knows the weather over in our neck of the woods. It is a solid, let's see here, Cleveland, Ohio, 44 degrees. It actually felt better today, though. Sunshine was out, so
baseball used to start on Monday. Like,
I always thought it did for some reason.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the weirdness of the calendar, because like Easter is a little bit earlier this year for that matter. So have a good Friday. Have a good Easter. We might be here on Saturday. We're still kicking this whole thing around. Vince is semi-committed to being here on Saturday if the Notre Dame women win tomorrow. What say you, Jesse? Will you commit to a Saturday show? Are you gonna
be honest?
Are you gonna commit to a weekend of heathenness?
The chances are slim. I will be visiting other people's families for Easter.
That's right. You have girlfriend family visitations to do because of Easter.
That is correct.
All right. Vince doesn't have to worry about traveling. I am already traveling. So quick show of hands. There's over 100 people watching live right now. Quick show of hands. Who would show up maybe around noon or 11 a.m. Saturday if we did a live show? That's what I want to know. Not seeing a lot of votes right now. So
I say you either say, there's one.
DK said thumbs up.
I will. You got another one?
Yes. John said yes. All right.
If you posted it and you told Brian to post it, I think you'd get enough traffic.
Joe?
Especially if the women win and you can give a little preview into what we would expect to be, you know, a South Carolina rematch to go to the Final Four.
That's true.
Get some live insight from the man himself.
All right. David giving the thumbs up. DJ said he doubts it. Tyler is in there. So, all right, we're kicking it around. I think maybe I need to put a poll up on the Champions Lounge, do like a full-fledged
vote,
see how it goes. Because we haven't, you know, we've toyed with the idea. We don't have an exact time or anything. Tyler Robinson is thumbs upping right now. Jason is in. So, all right, well, we're considering it. We'll let you know on the Champions Lounge if it's going to happen, and we'll tweet something out probably as well. Jesse, enjoy the Cubs tonight. Hopefully they come through for you. Hopefully it works out. And
thank you.
If we don't talk to you Saturday, we will talk to you Monday after a weekend of basketball and baseball and everything else. Enjoy it. Hit the like button. And, of course, listen on your podcast platforms. We do always appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Talk to you later. Ivy Nation Sports Talk.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.